Hello and welcome to our Medical Home Podcast. My name is Karen Simchak and I'll be the moderator for the program. I'll be interviewing Sam Seikert. Thank you, Sam, for taking the time to speak with me today about medical homes. Before I start asking you some questions, can you take a minute and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, and I just want everybody to know that I practice in a level 3 recognized medical home, and so I know what medical homes do firsthand, but here on this call, I'm representing the North Carolina Regional Extension Center for Health and Information Technology, and even though we've done EHR implementation and meaningful use over the last few years, we also have a supplementary program where once practices get to meaningful use, we help them obtain a medical home, not only recognition, but functionality, and many of our practices are doing great quality work. So happy to be here today and answer these questions and maybe tell you about some of our experiences.
Great. Thanks, Sam. So here's the first question. What is a medical home, and how is it important that it be patient or community-centered?
Well, it's a medical home is a primary care practice that's really saying the buck stops here. And this practice uses teamwork, technology, and other tools to ensure that the patient is getting optimal care at all times and all locations. It creates a direct relationship between a patient and a provider, and this relationship involves an emphasis on the patient's values and the provider using these values for care coordination, advocacy, and shared decision-making. The medical home wants the patient to be fully engaged in his or her care.
Great. Can you tell me a little bit more about the key elements that make up a medical home?
Sure. And first of all, the patient definitely has a personal physician, the main physician that's responsible for their care across settings. And it's a team-based practice. We realize, I mean, when you think about all the things that need to be done for preventive care and chronic care, it's impossible for one person to do it. So the medical home is set up so that other members of the practice, such as nurse practitioners, nurses, even front desk people, technicians, everybody has a role. Everybody has a responsibility for ensuring that the patient is going down the right care path, and those roles are really well defined. And another key element is the medical home expands access, particularly when patients are acutely or severely ill. And this kind of access makes sure that you really have your finger on things, particularly when a patient's unstable. And this is especially important in transitions of care, particularly, for instance, when a patient is discharged from the hospital. There's also an emphasis on coordination of care. I mean, how many times does someone have an appointment and maybe forget about it, or a lab doesn't get done, an x-ray doesn't get done, and it's a system of coordination where things are tracked across the care spectrum. What I think is really the most important element of the medical home, particularly when it comes to chronic care, is proactive population health management. This is an element where the practice uses medical technology to identify patients at risk and ensures that there's a system in place to keep engaging these patients about their needed care, whether the patient is actually in front of you at the time of an appointment or not. Again, I want to emphasize the element of using teams, health information technology, and data to constantly assure optimal individual care and drive practice improvement. The last element I touch on here is one that's very practical, and that's to achieve the results that new payment systems require, medical home functionality will be nearly a necessity.
Great. Well, thank you for covering some of those key elements. And my next question is, why is it important for a provider to become a medical home or want to become a medical home?
Well, we know that between different providers and settings, important nuances of care are sometimes omitted. By having one provider who knows the patient's values and plan of care, and have that provider intimately track the patient through consultation and across the care continuum, we know that this care will be well coordinated, that outcomes will be better, and duplication will be avoided. This approach clearly benefits the patient. And also, by building a system of team care with defined roles supported by great information systems, we also know that practice satisfaction and efficiency improves.
Great. Now, what about if a provider is interested in becoming a medical home? What does it take to become a medical home?
Well, the NCQA is the organization that officially recognizes patient-centered medical homes, and there are six standards, and each standard has elements and factors that talk about how to organize in a medical home. And all these elements are awarded certain points when the practice accomplishes them. So these standards are as follows. First of all, there's enhanced access and continuity of care. So for that, again, the patient has to have a main physician, a main provider. And by enhanced access, you're talking about the ability to get acute appointments during the day, to be able to access someone in the practice off hours. And there's also an element of electronic access and patient portals that can be involved and scored in the system. Another thing that has to do with access is having the ability to get language service support. And the other thing is also having materials that are health literacy appropriate. A second standard is this ability to identify and manage patient populations that I talked about a little bit earlier. Now, it's really important here to have an electronic health record to be able to do this. A great example would be, let's say I want a list of every diabetic in my practice who has a hemoglobin A1C of 8.5 or above. By being able to create this list of diabetics that are relatively out of control, I can go ahead and develop systems to bring them in and intensify their care so that they're no longer out of control and have better health outcomes. And that leads to standard number three, which is to plan and manage care. And again, this is the idea of referring to the example above of having systems in place to be able to do really, really well with my diabetics. So again, when a patient is in the practice, I can have my EHR set up to have certain reminders and point of care decision support so I absolutely know what to do and don't miss anything when the patient is right in front of me. But on the other hand, I can also develop protocols or algorithms that can be used by other clinic staff in dealing with the patient to get important things done where they don't even have to see the physician necessarily to get them done. So again, this is one of the standards that coupled with population identification really, really makes it valuable to get patients with chronic illnesses under really good control. The fourth standard is to provide self-care and community support. So that has to do with providing self-management education either through the practice or through an appropriate referral structure and have the patient have access to community support that's available. So it's a matter of keeping updated listings of what's available in your neighborhood to really enhance patients' experience out in the community, because after all, they're only in your practice a short amount of time. Most of their world is out there. Standard number 5 is to be able to track and coordinate care. So that's being able to know that a consultation referral got done and that we received the record from the consultant and the new advice for the patient. Another example would be to know that an x-ray got done and make sure that I followed up that x-ray and it doesn't fall through the cracks. And then on care coordination, you also have the idea that sicker patients need a certain degree of care management. So hopefully there'll be other professionals available to help people meet their needs away from the medical practice. And then again, with the medical home being the center of responsibility for the patient's medical progress, we want to be able to get that information into our records and know that all the best things are being done. Standard number 6 is to measure and improve performance. We've been doing quality improvement in our program for a long time. Again, it's a situation where when a patient's in front of you, you're pretty sure to do most of the important things in their care, but not everybody gets scheduled all the time. So having a system where you can measure how well patients are doing, whether they're actually in front of you or not, it's very important. And again, if you know, for instance, that maybe 20% of your patients have a hemoglobin A1C greater than 9, representing very poor control, if I know that and it's in front of my face, then I can think of ways within my practice to reach those patients and engage them and find ways of getting their diabetes control better, whether it's physically in my practice or using other support structures.
Great. Well, thank you for that explanation of the different standards.
One last thing I wanted to mention is just that you don't have to become a level 3 medical home on day 1. Depending on how quickly and how well you do these functions that I just talked about, you can get level 1 recognition if you only have the resources to go so far, in a defined amount of time. So you don't have to shoot for the moon at the beginning. You can start slow and go level by level.
Great. And then what if a practice is interested in becoming a recognized medical home? What do they need to do once they understand these standards?
They can go to the NCQA website, and there'll be some instructions there. But basically what you have to do is get the application, and the application has all these standards and elements listed, and then you have to go through your practice. And again, this is a team sport. You need everybody in your practice to participate, because it talks about the whole system. And so as you go through each of those elements, you fill out the application and ensure that you have the changes in your practice to meet those requirements, then you submit it to the NCQA.
Great. Okay, thank you. And then what about with the health IT and electronic health records? What roles do they play in a medical home?
Well, again, I think health IT is huge. I mentioned the population management functions. In order to be able to track tests and coordinate care, you need to be able to communicate electronically. Patient portals, the idea of secure electronic communication with patients, all of these things are enhanced with an electronic health record. And so really, to be a high-level medical home, and again, not just recognition, but in functionality, an EHR is really imperative. And meaningful use is an important part of that, because meaningful use gives you the tools that fit directly into some of these elements of the medical home. Meaningful use and the medical home requirements are very, very intertwined.
Great. Now, what about with the health IT? What are some of the challenges related to health IT that you yourself as a provider who's a medical home have identified, or that you know of others having challenges with health IT?
Yeah, two things strike me in thinking of that. First of all, there's always a learning curve when you use a new tool. Initial workflows and screenshots aren't always intuitive, so there is a period of adjustment when you start getting that EHR in and achieve meaningful use. Also, not all systems, not all vendor systems, have all the quality measures that you want to use functioning well under meaningful use stage one. So sometimes you might be interested in a specific quality measure, but you might have to forsake it for one that works really well, because in stage one, that's what your EHR does. But for stage two meaningful use, all the quality measures ought to be functional. So pretty soon that shouldn't be an issue with those upgrades.
Great. So it sounds like, as you said, the health IT is a key component of being a medical home. And then what about, are there other struggles that you're aware of in becoming a medical home?
Yeah, to go beyond the patient-centered medical home application and actually set up the workflows and practice systems to really produce high-quality results, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of team thinking and reorganization. What makes it particularly tough is we're still largely in a fee-for-service system, so there's still pressure for shorter appointments and higher volumes. But it's important, the full rewards for medical home functionality beyond some enhanced payments from some insurers aren't quite there yet, but we still need to keep our eye on the prize, because through great coordination and quality improvement, for all those things you can achieve through a medical home, it's wonderful for the patient.
Great, thanks. Another question is, what about the RECs? What can they do to help a provider who wants to become a medical home?
Well, an REC can function as a medical home consultant and guide providers through the process to become a medical home. And again, because of some of the struggles, getting used to new organizations and new ways of thinking, not every practice is ready right this minute. So going ahead and conducting a readiness assessment and determining if the practice is really ready to participate in this process, I think it's important for an REC to do that. For instance, is everybody in the practice on board? Is there a physician champion? What's the status of their health IT system? Are they facile enough to do these wonderful elements of the medical home? And do they have a good team in place that's really ready to work hard and making these elements real within the practice? Another thing the REC can do is actually help providers improve their processes and workflows, with emphasis on spreading the roles among the entire practice team. This is something that should not be done alone by the physician. Again, it's a team sport, and everybody has to pitch in. I would ensure that practices are using their health IT systems to the utmost, registries, personal health records, and, again, provide training to the practice team so they understand the processes and the changes needed. One way of doing some of this is just pulling out the application and going over the NCQA criteria step by step with the practice. Because, again, when you look through an application form, there are some things that are not necessarily intuitive in terms of some of the lingo, particularly for medical homes being new to practices. So just explaining the application and going through what some of the more complex elements mean and what you need to do to meet the standards, I think that's important.
Great. And you had mentioned that the NCQA website is a great resource. Are there other resources that REC staff could go to find more information about medical homes?
Yes. There's the HITRIC portal, the HITRIC Learning Center. AHRQ has a terrific medical home website and has done some work in spreading medical homes. And, again, this is supported by the American College of Physicians, and they have a medical home portion of their website. And I think, again, one thing to remember in all this is the data on medical homes from the places that do it well show better chronic care, better preventive care, better provider satisfaction, and improved costs through less hospitalization and less emergency department use. So this is a good approach for everyone right now, even prior to the full blossoming of healthcare reform. And it'll only get better as we get more experience with doing this. So there.
Great, Sam. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain medical homes to me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.